This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Hi, this is Bob Lentz, manager of Montgomery County Farm Bureau. Ford Motor Company has the exclusive offer for Illinois Farm Bureau members. Get a $500 bonus cash savings off a vehicle MSRP towards the purchase or lease of any eligible Ford or Lincoln vehicle. Certain eligibility restrictions apply. See your Ford Lincoln dealer for complete details and qualifications. Join Montgomery County Farm Bureau today for this and other great benefits.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie offers vaccines, and the best part, no appointment or prescription is needed. If you or a loved one are on Medicare, influenza and pneumonia vaccines will be billed at no cost to you. Michelle's Pharmacy also offers other adult vaccinations like Zostavax for shingles. Protect yourself today. Get your vaccination at Michelle's Pharmacy in Carlinville and Gillespie. Call Carlinville 854-4022 or Gillespie at 839-9901. Michelle's Pharmacy, where delivery to your home or office is always free.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Tuesday morning, the DTN general opening call later this morning. Expect corn to open 5 to 7 higher, beans 2 to 3 higher, wheat 6 to 7 higher. The overnight crude oil market, $1.05 lower at $96.89. The Brent crude, 68 cents lower at $112.48. The June gold contract, $11.50 lower at $1,627.60. The U.S. dollar index, 0.159 higher at 79.762. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 606 and a quarter, up 2.5. July wheat closed at 612, up 2.5. September wheat closed at 626 and 3/4, up 2.5. May corn yesterday closed at 665, up 2.75. July corn closed at 620. That was down 0.25. September corn closed at 533 and a quarter, down 2. May soybeans yesterday closed at 1463 and a half, down 11 and a half. July beans closed at 1465 and 3/4, down 12 and a half. August beans closed at 1448 and 3/4. That was down 9 and a half. May soybean meal yesterday closed at 425.20, down 69. July meal closed at 426.50, down 61. August meal closed at 418.20, down 43. May soybean oil yesterday closed at 53.21, down 9. July oil closed at 53.58, down 7. August oil closed at 53.78, down 7. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 331.5, unchanged. July oats closed at 337.5. Down 2.5. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash grain report.
This is Kent McFarland with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture grain market news report. Illinois country grain price were mixed on Monday afternoon. Technical selling at the Board of Trade pressured soybean values. Additional pressure was put on by weekly export inspections below trade expectations. Central Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids steady to 8 cents higher at 634 to 659. Soybeans were 12 to 13 cents lower at 1442 to 1455. Corn bids in southern Illinois were steady to 4 cents higher at 645 to 662. Soybeans were down 8 to 13 cents at 14.52 to 14.68. Wheat ended 1 to 5 cents higher at 5.87 to 6.09. St. Louis area elevators mills report their corn bids steady to 4 cents higher, ranging from 6.50 to 6.58. Soybeans were 8 to 13 cents lower at 14.56 to 14.68. And wheat was 3 to 5 cents higher at 6.01 to 6.09. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids mixed at 663 to 673. Soybeans were 13 to 18 cents lower at 1466 to 1471. New crop wheat was 2 to 3 cents higher at 602 to 612. East St. Louis barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids at 1 to 8 cents higher, 680 to 688. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 12 cents, with quotations at 1488 to 1489. Wheat closed 3 cents higher at 627 to 628, and Milo is down a penny at 589 to 590. This is Kent McFarland reporting for WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, May hogs closed at $80.05, up a quarter. June hogs closed at $84.40, up 67. July hogs closed at $85.20, down 15. June cattle yesterday closed at $116.27, up 90. August cattle closed at $118.80, up 30. October cattle closed at $124.15, up 35. May feeder cattle yesterday closed at $152.77, up 22. August feeders closed at $159.45, up 135. September feeders closed at $160.55, up 132. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
The closing livestock reports for Monday, May 7th, for the Eastern Corn Belt, the Leadrick Togs, Barrows, and Gilts, closed 46 cents lower, with a carcass-based price range of 70 to 77, weighted average of 74.16. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 14,700. Illinois Dirks Brown Gilt trade was steady to weak at 52 to 56, and Illinois Dirks Slaughter Sows traded mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s, under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 42 to 46. 450 to 550 pounds at 45 to 49. Over 550 pounds at 48 to 50. Today's estimated receipts, 750, and Friday's actuals, 600. Pork carcass cut out at 78.45. That is down 41 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter to federal inspection, hogs for today, 413,000. Last week, 410,000. A year ago, 376,000. Cattle for today, 125,000. Last week, 112,000. A year ago, 129,000. Box beef cutout values are steady on select and lower on choice on light to moderate demand and offerings. Total movement today, 121 fab loads and 48 trim. Choice at 190.48, that is up 19 cents. Select at 184.68, and that is down $1.43. At the Illinois auctions, which we cover, receipts last week of 1,369 head, which included a special sell. Compared to the previous week, slaughter steers and heifers traded unevenly steady. Choice steers sold at 122 to 126, with choice heifers at 120.5 to 125. Choice Holstein steers traded $1 to $2.25 lower, 105 to 112.5, with slaughter cows and bulls steady to 4 higher. Illinois direct slaughter cattle traded steady to 2 lower, from 120 to 122.5 on a live basis last week, and steady at 192 to 195 on a dress basis. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning back to WSMI.
Also on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, spot prices for butter, 131 unchanged. For black cheese, 153.5 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 146.75. That was down a quarter. The spot price for Class 3 milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday ended up at $15.17. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, $6.60. For June, $6.33. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, $6.52. For June, $6.25. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, $14.51. And for June, $14.57. Wheat delivered to Scottville for May, $5.86. For more information or to confirm the bids, you can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening price is once again corn at Greenfield $6.60, corn at Scottville $6.52, beans at Scottville or Greenfield $14.51, wheat at Scottville $5.86. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Tuesday morning, brought to you by Michelle's Pharmacy of Carlinville and Gillespie, by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. It's coming up on 619. Color Radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment.
What is farming smart? It means choosing seed that fits your operation's goals. Select hybrids and varieties of FS High Soy brand soybeans that are part of a comprehensive cropping plan. That's FS Seed and FS Green Plan Solutions from M&M Service Company. That's farming smart. And farming smart always begins with FS Seed. Talk to M&M Service Company today to learn how FS High Soy brand soybeans and FS Green Plan Solutions can maximize every one of your acres. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Partly cloudy skies today, high temperatures in the mid-70s with northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies for tonight, the low in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny skies, the high in the low 70s. Your extended forecast for Thursday through Saturday, partly cloudy skies, a slight chance of showers Saturday night and Sunday. Lows in the mid-50s, highs in the mid-70s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have northwest winds at 6 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 57 degrees. Over the past 24 hours, WSMI Weather Watcher, the Lang family of Coffeen, a half inch of rain, a tenth of an inch here at the Weather Center. Once again, mostly clear skies, 57 degrees. Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment in Hamel, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, in our farm news today, here's the weekly crop condition report. We join Brad Schwab of the Illinois Agricultural Statistics Service.
Statewide temperatures reported 10.9 degrees above normal, averaging 68.5 degrees. And rainfall accumulations came in at 1.82 inches, which was also 91 one-hundredths above normal for the seven-day period ending May 6th. And with all this rainfall, it should be no surprise there were only 1.5 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies increased to 6% short, 68% adequate, and 26% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was rated at 86% adequate or surplus, up 17 percentage points from last week. The wettest crop reporting district based on topsoil moisture supplies was the West Southwestern District, with a rating of 49% adequate and 50% surplus. Corn planting advanced by 10 more percentage points to 89% complete. This compares to 27% planted last year and 47% for the five-year average. Corn emergence now stands at 64%, and this compares to only 5% last year and 18% for the five-year average. The average height of all corn now stands at 3 inches. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn progress was the West Southwestern District, where 86% of the seed has sprouted and emerged. Soybean planting advanced to 21% complete, compared to 1% a year ago and 7% for the five-year average. 7% was reported emerged, compared to 1% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean progress was the Southeastern District, where 20% had been reported emerged by week's end. Sorghum planting now stands at 41% complete compared to 5% for the five-year average. Heading of the soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 87%, well ahead of the 21% reported a year ago and 23% five-year average. 33% of wheat heads were reported filled, which is considered well advanced for this date. The winter wheat crop was rated as mostly good to excellent condition. Red clover, pastures, and alfalfa were all rated in mostly good condition, and the first cutting of alfalfa advanced to 21% complete, compared to 2% last year and 3% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Also in our farm news this morning, May is beef month. Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau talked to an area producer and retailer of the product.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. We're talking with the Schutes in Clinton County. We're at the headquarters in St. Rose, and this time we're going to start with Mike Schute as we talk about where we are in this family history. Mike, you just have a lot to celebrate, not just for May, but throughout the year. This family business has been a mainstay in this part of the state.
Yes, our family's been here for 149 years. It was started by my great-grandfather. We've always been proud of this area, been proud of the folks that live here. We love raising our families here. We're proud of the products that are produced here, and particularly proud of our local beef producers. We support them by selling their products in our stores. They do breed it and feed it according to strict guidelines that we've developed over all the generations, but it's also developed by customer feedback. Customers tell us what they like and what they don't like, and we try to make sure that what we end up with is a product that not only tastes really good, but it's really good farm. We hope that you can join us for a taste test of your own on our parking lot. So we'll be grilling some Star Primo Angus beef ribeye steak sandwiches for customers. You can get a local bottle of Ski and some Jay's potato chips for just $3.50 on Saturday, May 19th at our Carlisle store, again from 11 to 1. And you can also meet some of those local producers. Talk to them yourself. It's kind of interesting to hear and how proud they are of the product that they put out also.
And Mike, you talk about your education process. Cliff, you getting into this relationship, you had an outstanding group of producers that you've been working with, and you guys have really perfected your product.
It's been a big learning curve because when we got started with this, thought we had the perfect beef, and then once you put it in the meat case, we found out that it wasn't so perfect. So since then, we made some changes. We're doing quite a bit of crossbreeding. The meat has to present itself first, so we got to have the right amount of balance of lean meat, also with the marbling that's in there, and that's been the real challenge is to find that sweet spot. And working with these producers over the years, we've kind of perfected that, and knowing when they're raised, knowing what they're being fed, knowing what bull they're out of, what cow, and that we can trace this all back, so we got some outliers. We can ship them down the road and then have a perfect bunch of cattle to work with.
With you guys in the past, I know there's a lot of conversations, and I hope that consumers take advantage. They've got the producer right there. Feel free. Ask some questions.
Yeah, that's a lot of the consumers are wanting to know where beef's coming from and what they're actually doing with that the beef, why they're being raised, how it's being, different times of year where they're being raised at and what they're being fed. There's a lot of stuff in the press that's got some doubt in the consumer's mind. So, yeah, on the 19th, come out, we'll have producers there, and they can ask the questions how their animals are being raised and feel confident in what they're eating every day.
Cliff and Mike Schutte with Schutte Super Value Stores inviting you out to celebrate May as Beef Month. Reporting for WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
Also in our farm news this morning, in 2001, the United States began evaluating plans to deal with foot and mouth disease and other foreign animal diseases. Pork Checkoff Director of Swine Health Programs, Dr. Patrick Webb, says that the plan has evolved over time.
The plan was to draw circles in quarantine and stop movements and try to stop the disease spread through euthanasia and disposal of animals. And over time, it's been recognized by multiple species groups. There needs to be also a plan in place to facilitate business continuity.
Dr. Webb says this continuity plan keeps the industry viable,
which basically means providing an opportunity for those people that aren't affected by the disease to continue to be able to move animals for production purposes so they could stay afloat during an outbreak. And the Secure Pork Supply Plan is the start of that process to develop what are the parameters that a producer or a production system would have to abide by in order to move animals during an event so they could continue with production.
Dr. Webb describes this project as basically a food security plan. A similar plan has been established for the egg industry. A public-private partnership is in place to create the plan for the swine industry. And for more information, go to www.pork.org. We all use the roads, but when using those roads as part of your business, how they are maintained affects your bottom line. American Farm Bureau Federation transportation specialist Andrew Walmsley explains how a new transportation bill could make that of farmers and ranchers' businesses better. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Jonna Miller has more.
Will Congress finally pass a new transportation bill? The surface transportation bill expired way back in 2009. In the meantime, Congress has addressed the nation's transportation infrastructure needs with short-term extensions. Now the Senate has passed a two-year bill, while the House passed another short-term extension that will let the two sides work to reconcile the two different versions.
This legislation is basically the surface transportation policy for the country, funds many of the construction projects we see on the side of the roads, helps fund and provide jobs for construction workers. These states are ramping up right now during the summer months to repair the roads and fix the bridges that we all depend on.
American Farm Bureau transportation specialist Andrew Walmsley says provisions in the legislation would exempt farmers and ranchers from a bunch of federal regulations if they haul their goods over state lines.
In today's economy, a lot of times your best market might just be across the state line, especially if you live in a border county. When you cross that state line, a whole host of regulations are triggered. Federal regulations that start treating those farmers like long-haul, year-round commercial truck drivers when simply a farmer in a pickup truck and a livestock trailer is trying to get a few calves to market. It clarifies that if you happen to be under 26,000 pounds, that you're not subject to those federal regulations if you cross a state line. If you're over 26,000 pounds, you can only travel up to 150 air miles from your farm if you cross a state line.
Another provision would allow farm suppliers to deliver agricultural products to farms and ranchers at the busiest times of the year without being restricted by hours of service rules that also affect long-haul truckers.
An ag retailer or a co-op can operate to get a farmer his inputs for planting or helping during the harvest season, the two busiest times of year for farmers and ranchers. So these two provisions are just trying to make it a little bit easier for farmers and ranchers to make a living.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
University of Illinois studies, funded by the State Soybean Association, are showing a change in planting dates is okay for the oilseed crop. Todd Gleason has more.
A few years ago, the Illinois Soybean Association funded planting date, row spacing, and population research at the University of Illinois. 2 years of field trials have shown something different to U of I Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger than had been believed before.
I want to be quick to say that we haven't turned some kind of corner, and now soybeans need to be planted earlier than they did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But I think we saw with really pretty good yield conditions the last couple of years that the earlier we planted soybeans, the better the yields were. And our planting date studies started around the middle of April and went into early June. So we have covered that, the normal planting period, pretty well.
Prior to the last 2 years, Nafziger, backed up by research, would have suggested planting soybeans by the middle of May to be optimum.
So our data from these last 2 years, we have 7 site years of data that really lined up remarkably well. And now we have to make sure we point this out. There's not a big yield loss from, say, April 20 to May the 5th or May the 1st or May the 10th. So we're not looking at bushels of yield lost, but a little bit. The surprising thing was that yields in mid-April were just a little higher than they were in early May. And then the acceleration of yield loss continues through May.
Through May, but at a slower pace than the downward curve of previous studies. So, not only can soybean be planted earlier, it can be planted later, too. The early May planting date losses are about 0.2 of a bushel per day. By late May, a 0.5 bushel per acre per day.
Actually, the late planting penalty from this most recent data isn't quite as great as we had seen before either. In other words, that line sinks relatively slowly, but by the 10th of June or so, we're, according to these data, we've dropped about 18 or 19 bushels from, say, the mid-April planting.
And that is something to avoid, if at all possible. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Some other farm news on this Tuesday morning. Rural electric cooperative utilities in 10 states will receive a total of $334 million in USDA loans to install smart grid technologies and improve generation and transmission facilities. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says a 21st century electric grid is essential to the country's ability to create jobs in the clean energy economy of the future. He says these investments enable consumers and businesses to better manage their use of electricity and help maintain affordable rates. Building transmission infrastructure that employs smart grid technologies, Secretary Vilsack continues, will make it easier to add renewable sources of electricity into the grid and improve reliability. The House Agriculture Committee will continue public hearings on farm bill programs in the nation's capital this week. Specialty crop and nutrition programs will be reviewed by the Nutrition Subcommittee today. The Subcommittee on Department Operations, Oversight, and Credit will look at credit programs on Thursday. Once again, we'll remind you, Mother's Day gifts from Illinois Food and Agribusiness Companies are featured on the Department of Agriculture's website. The address, agr.state.il.us/marketing/Mother's Day. Once again, the DTN general opening call for later this morning. Expect corn to open about a nickel higher, beans 2 to 3 cents higher, wheat 6 to 7 cents higher. The overnight crude oil market, $1.05 lower at $96.89, Brent crude 68 cents lower at $112.48, and the June gold contract $11.50 lower at $1,627.60. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106, beginning with the opening commodity markets this morning at 6:32. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment in Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.